In the Word of God, in our Sunday morning series of studies in the Book of Psalms, in the Old Testament, the Book of Psalms, and we have reached Psalm number 13. A very, very short psalm, and by way of background to it, we read also two short passages from the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, then Isaiah chapter 49, but first of all, Psalm number 13, a psalm of David, and the man of God who serves God, who loves God and delights in God, gives expression to his heart, and he says, "How long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in thy steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 27. "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, saying, 'My way is hid from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God'? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Isaiah chapter 49 at verse 13. "Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. But Zion, the people of God, said, 'The Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me.' And God says, 'Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have graven you, or your name, on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." Amen, and may God bless to our hearts such a reading of his word. Now will you turn with me in your Bibles to this lovely short psalm, Psalm number 13. Some of you may have the old authorized version, some of you have the new international version, some of you will have a variety of other translations, no doubt. But the Revised Standard Version brings out the contrasts and the combination of words in this psalm, perhaps better than any other. There are times when you can put all the feelings of your heart into a very short prayer or a very short hymn of praise, and in the course of a very few words your whole situation or your whole feelings can change from depths of despair to a settled frame of mind in which praise and gratitude to God are the dominant themes. And this is exactly what we have in Psalm number 13. David starts off really down in the depths. But by the end of the psalm, and it's only 6 verses in all, he finds himself in a settled frame of mind and heart, knowing something of the peace of God. This is what we have in Psalm number 13. It's short, it's simple, it's direct, and it is repetitive. It divides, and a minister is always relieved when a passage of the Bible does this, it divides into 3 clear sections of 2 verses each. It's really a very mathematical psalm in some way. Divides into 3 clear sections of 2 verses each. In the first 2 verses there are 4 things. In the next 2 verses there are 3 things. And in the last 2 verses there are 4 things. It's a simple psalm, it's very clear, it's very direct, actually very profound and very wonderful, and we should be blessed in reading it. If you can recall the 2 passages that we read along with the psalm, Isaiah chapter 40 and also Isaiah chapter 49, you will recall that these 2 passages give the background truth and the essential atmosphere in which we look at the psalmist's words. In the passages from Isaiah, the people of God are saying, God's forgotten me. And God says, can a woman forget her own child whom she's feeding at the time? A child breastfed. Can a woman forget her own child? Yes. And our daily newspapers testify to that. Ah, but says God, I will not forget you. Now it's in this kind of atmosphere that we look at the psalmist's words. And in verses 1 and 2, David opens his heart to us as well as to God. And we are told what he is feeling. And you know, quite apart from spiritually speaking, psychologically speaking, it's always good to speak about what you're feeling. It helps to get it out. Not least when you get it expressed in words, you can see more clearly just exactly what you're feeling and why you're feeling like that. So David opens his heart to God and to us. And we are told what he is feeling. We are told about the things that are puzzling him and hurting him. And 4 times he says, how long, how long, how long, how long. These 2 verses, look at them as we are speaking. 4 times he says, how long? As if he is saying to God, well now God, I know that the life of faith is not easy. There's nothing in the Bible that says that the life of faith is going to be easy. And he said, now God, I know that we must learn faith and we must learn trust. And God, I know that there is evil in the world, and because there is evil in the world and this is a fallen world, there will always be things that are sore and baffling. I know that, says David to God, but how long Is it going to go on like this? How long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me forever? You see, he feels forgotten. And he's full of anguish in case he's forgotten for keeps. How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and sorrow in my heart? How long shall my enemy be exalted? You see, he's pleading with God. Mind you, you've got to know God before you can plead with him like this. And the trouble with a lot of us is that we don't really know God. How long? How long? How long? He goes to God. There's a lesson for us. You may be saying, oh preacher, I feel just like David this morning. I'm all shot to pieces. Well, do for David did. Go to God. And he's not far away. He's been very near right since we started the opening psalm. David goes to God, and he speaks to God. And he speaks to God in a very, very honest way. I don't think he's bitter. He's baffled. He is baffled by what is happening to him. He doesn't know why all these things are happening to him, and he's questioning. I don't think he's bitter, but he is baffled, and he is questioning, and he is saying to God over and over, "Oh God, how long, how long, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" Now it's a terrible thing to feel forgotten. It's terrible to feel that people have forgotten you. I still remember speaking to Robert and Jan Trelogan at Bangkok Airport when we were saying goodbye to them. And they were exactly halfway through their 4-year tour of service. And I remember Jan Trelogan saying to me, "Mr. Philip, will they still remember us in Sandyford?" Oh, I was able to say, "Oh no, they'll not forget." It's awful to feel that people forget you. It's more awful when you feel that God has forgotten you. But of course, if we were to turn back, as I did in preparation, to Psalm number 8, we find David, the same David, saying, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou dost care for him?" Coming near to him in care. Now you see, David knows that God cares. There's nothing wrong with his theology. There's nothing wrong with his doctrine. But he needs to be told, he needs to be reminded, he needs to be reassured that God has not forgotten. Now, it could very well be at this particular point in David's life that David could look round about him and see evidences of the hand of God and the blessing of God on other people and on other situations, but no evidences of the blessing of God in his situation and his work. And he's troubled. "How long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me forever?" It may be, of course, that in this situation David is very aware of his sins and his failures. And you and I suppose know how our sins and our failures can sometimes crowd in on us and give us an awful sense of desolation. It may be that David is like this, and he is recognizing the rightness of God's displeasure. And it is right that God should be displeased with us when we sin. But he says, "Oh God, Wilt thou forget me forever? A second time he says, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? And David seems to have no sense of God's nearness and God's presence. It may be here, of course, that David is recalling, as no doubt you and I can recall, recalling times and seasons in his life when the words of the Aaronic blessing were just so real to him, because that was how his life was. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And for David, these words weren't just religious words. He is perhaps looking back to a time when these words really described very, very sweet spiritual experience. But now listen to my words, now, even though, as far as he knows his own heart, he is walking in obedience to God, he feels and senses and experiences no such enjoyment of God's presence and God's fellowship and God's blessing. I'm quite sure that David knew the promise of God given so long ago, before David's time, to Moses in the book of Exodus, where in the 33rd chapter, where God said to Moses, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Oh yes, David knew that promise. And he believed that promise, but he had no sense of it. And of course, David wasn't the only man. David wasn't the only godly man who knew this kind of desolating experience, when it seems that God had forgotten and that God was hiding his face. Do you remember, I won't quote it, I won't make you turn it up. Do you remember how often at times we used to refer to the 23rd chapter of Job, in which Job says, oh, that I knew where I might find him. I look forward, I look back, I look on the left, I look on the right. I can see no sign of God. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. And one of the commentaries suggested that I should look up the 29th chapter of the book of Job. And this is what I read there. Job said, oh, that I were as in the months of old, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in my autumn days, when the friendship of God was upon my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me. Oh, says Job, oh, that it was like that now. I know some people, quite a lot of people really, who feel that it's not right and it's not spiritual to sing the hymn that says, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Ah, but David and Job both say, oh, we can remember times when the sweetness of God's blessing was so rich and so tender, so near and so personal. And David is saying, oh, it's not like that now. Oh God, how long wilt thou hide thy face? Lord, are you not going to smile at me anymore? And a third time he says, how long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? And something, I believe that something of the depth and the reality of this man's spirituality is seen here. His true spirituality is seen in that it hurts him very deeply. It hurts him to think that God is not pleased with him. I wonder to what extent you and I are like that. Oh, I know we can go as far as say, we recognize, Mr. Philip, that Christians, and maybe Christians of long standing, we recognize that there are times that because of what we are and what we are doing or not doing, God is not pleased with us. But does it hurt us the way that it hurts David to think that God is not pleased? It seems in that second verse, the third, how long? It seems that David here is referring to the restlessness and the turmoil, yes, and the hurt in his thinking and in his feeling. He is perplexed. It is sore, and it has become a grief. Have you ever in any kind of pastoral counseling heard and felt the feelings of the word, the feeling of the words when someone has said to you, "Oh, I wish I was back with God"? The fourth, how long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? And this seems to refer to David's personal humiliation in public. As the king of God's people, he should have been leading his people on to victory and to peace and to blessing. But all of his kingly rule and service seems to be frustrated. Perhaps it is being frustrated. Certainly it seems to be frustrated. And David is feeling it has just been one thing after another. How long? Four times he says it. How long? And then in verses 3 and 4 he seems to make a personal appeal to God. And in these verses 3 and 4 there is a sense of urgency in his words. His sorrow and his perplexity begin to have a positive note. And this, of course, is an indication of faith which refuses to be crushed. And we said there were three things here. They're only evident as three things in the translation of the RSV. Three times David says, "Lest." "Consider and answer me, O Lord my God, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken." Now we have two options here in studying these three things. First of all, we could think of them in the sense that David is saying to God, "O God, consider, answer, and lighten my eyes. Help me to see." You know, it almost seems here, and I can't help almost beginning to laugh. It almost seems here that David, and this is not cheat, this is not presumption, but it almost seems as if David is saying, "Now, God, I want you to think about it. Consider." And God, when you've considered, give me your answer. Give me your considered opinion. Think about it. Give me an answer. And whatever the answer is, give light to my eyes. Give me sight. so that I can see what you're doing with me and accept it. But the second option here is we could take the word lest three times over and read these two verses as if David is almost saying to God, if my prayers are not answered, this is what will happen. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Now, perhaps, there's a lot that we don't understand in this psalm, perhaps it was illness that was causing David to be at such a low ebb spiritually. Or on the other hand, it could be that his low ebb spiritually was having an effect on his very health. And he wasn't well, and he felt unwell. And he says, consider and answer me, O Lord my God, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. He's really saying to God, now I, whatever life I've got left, it's impossible without you. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. That is, lest the enemy, whoever the enemy was, an individual, a group of individuals, or is he speaking about the devil? I don't quite know. Lest my enemy say, I have triumphed or I have prevailed over him. Oh God, answer my prayers, lest the enemy boast in his triumph over the work of God. You put it into language you can understand. Some of the students were talking to me at the conference about all that their reaction to so many different churches all being shut down, some of them derelict, some of them used for other things, sometimes very unworthy things. You can imagine the devil saying, well, at least I shut that church. And I managed to shut that church. And David is feeling the enemy pressing against his work. And he says, oh God, consider and answer me, lest my enemy say, I've prevailed over the work of God. Consider and answer me, oh God. Oh my God, says David, thirdly, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. Answer me, O God, lest the enemy rejoice because the faith of God's man has been shaken. You know, my friends, this is one of the things that the devil loves to see. Christians shaken in their faith. Oh, I sat at my desk quite a while pondering that. And then to my shame, I had to use my concordance to find the reference that I wanted to quote. I'll read it to you. It's from the 7th chapter of the prophecy of Micah. As for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. Now that's real faith. When real faith is brought crashing down, real faith doesn't say, oh, I'm going to give up. Real faith says, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Oh, there's an element of defiance in real faith. My God will hear. Came across a very interesting statement in the commentary on the Psalms by Derek Kidner, one of the IVP commentaries. He said this, awareness of God and awareness of the enemy is the hallmark of practically every psalm. And awareness of God and awareness of the enemy constitute the positive and the negative charge which produced the driving force of the best years of David's life. Oh, I like that. Aware of God, aware of the enemy. And the issue of that is power. Power to serve. And so we come to the last two verses of the psalm. Verses 5 and 6. Victory, the victory of faith. Tremendous change from the earlier verses, isn't it? You look at verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Look at verse 5. But I have trusted in thy steadfast love. He is not only trusting in God, he is resting in the love of God. And I think we need to notice here just how personal it is. Four times. I, thy. That's very personal, isn't it? Second line of verse 5, my, thy. The beginning of verse 6, I and the Lord. What a nice partnership, isn't it? I and the Lord. He, the last line of verse 6, he and me. It's so personal. And I think we've got to learn to deal with God like this, because he is a personal God. And our relationship to God has to be a personal relationship. And I commend to you these four couplets. I, thy, my, thy, I and the Lord, he and me. Take the last one. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. Now, here is David, the man of God, giving his testimony. Now, inevitably, when you're giving your testimony, you have to look back. Because a testimony is a testimony to God's dealings with you. If you're giving your testimony and you spend most of your time talking about your sins and failures, that's not really a testimony, that's a confession. It doesn't really help anybody to hear about our sins. A testimony. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. You could say, well, but David, why didn't you say that at the beginning of the psalm? And he would have to say, oh, I forgot. Oh, so, David, we see what you mean at the beginning of the psalm. It wasn't really God who had forgotten. It was you that had forgotten. Because God doesn't forget. And here in this last verse, David declares the fact about which there is no question, no doubt. God has dealt bountifully, generously with him. This is David's review of the past. And this, my friends, is a marvelous corrective to present sadness and bleakness of spirit. Because God does not change. God is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Is it not true that God has been good to us in the past? Has he changed? Have you decided that God has changed because in the immediate situation everything is dark and bleak and indeed terrible? Oh no, you mustn't say that. God does not change. He is faithful. And his love, oh, we'll sing about it in just a moment or two. Oh, love that wilt not let me go. Oh, but you say, preacher, this the present situation is sore. Oh, love that seekest me through pain. God seeking to come nearer to us. God seeking to lead us forward into richer depths of love and grace and blessing than ever we have known in the past. This is what David is saying. I have trusted in thy steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. David is looking to the past. Now, there is a right way for forgetting the past, and there is a necessary way to forget the past, especially in respect of our sins and our failures. But there is a right way to remember the past, especially when the present is sore. To remember the past and to recall God's steadfast love. Love that wilt not let us go. The love of the God who does not forget. The love of the God and the God of love, who at all times and in all situations is working for our blessing. I spoke to you as I spoke to the children, pointing you forward in the journey, right to the end when we are ready for heaven. And let's not forget, we can't stay here forever. We are marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. And when we get there, I believe in a very wonderful way we'll be able to look back. And oh, how I love when I think of these things. Oh, I love the words of the hymn. People think it's a depressing hymn. The sands of time are sinking. Oh, it's not depressing at all. I love the words that say, I'll bless the hand that guided. I'll bless the heart that planned. When throned where glory dwelleth, in Emmanuel's land. And we will do so because God is love. And David in Psalm number 13 says, don't you ever forget it. God is love. And God never forgets. Amen, and may God bless to us his own good word.